presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
All right, I want to apologize to the podcast and radio audience for a second, because what I'm about to say is kind of video only, and I don't typically try to do a lot of that kind of stuff, but you see on screen right now, and for those of you not, I'll kind of describe this. We went prop heavy on the program today. Obviously, earlier we were live on video when the nation's number two prospect, Anthony Edwards, made his college decision. He chose Georgia. It's the biggest piece of basketball news that Georgia's gotten, and maybe forever, certainly maybe since Dominique Wilkins joined the program and the program went to the Final Four in 1983. I mean, you got to go back a long time to the Neek era, the Final Four season after Neek was gone. You got to go back a long time to find, you know, a level of basketball storyline the way that Georgia got one a little earlier today. So in honor of that and the hopes of kind of getting some good vibes going for Georgia's decision, we brought some old school basketball stuff. Here's a program from 1991. We kind of put this out here. This is from the Georgia-Alabama game, which I was at, by the way. That's actually a really fun game. And don't you love those old school uniforms, which Georgia actually brought back out on Saturday? Kind of cool. I've also got a Georgia basketball card magnet from the Jim Herrick era, and then kind of one of those bedroom door basketball hoop things from who knows what era. But anyway, we wanted to kind of, you know, be in solidarity with the rest of Dog Nation as Edwards made his decision. And I'm going to say it worked out for the best, as Edwards chose Georgia and our props may have helped out just a little bit. Even our buddy Eddie kind of getting involved on this today. So all fun stuff. We'll do the Edwards stuff a little bit more later on in the program. Here, though, I did want to mention something I don't think has gotten enough coverage of now, though, to start off the program before we celebrate the big basketball recruits that Georgia just added. The fact that Georgian football also added another player on Saturday over the weekend as well, as Lawrence Cager, the graduate transfer wide receiver Miami, has chosen Georgia. I've been on board for a while saying that I wanted to see Georgia get Cager. I was probably a little higher on Cager than I was the tight end that Georgia just added, Eli Wolf. But all in all, adding them both, I think, ends up being a really good thing for Georgia, because I think it does send a message here that Georgia is going to do everything it can to put itself in a position to go for a national championship right now. You got the quarterback in place in Jake Fromm. You've got the Heisman-caliber running back in place in DeAndre Swift. You've got what I believe is going to be the nation's top offensive line with all those, you know, bookend five-star tackles with Isaiah Wilson and Andrew Thomas, the competition for the spots in between. This is a terrific-looking offensive line. This is a Heisman-caliber quarterback, Heisman-caliber running back. You just added a five-star wide receiver. Your defense is stacks on stacks of elite players. You have got everything that you seemingly need, so leave no stone unturned. You know, we talked on Friday about the T-shirts that Georgia was wearing, the big team, little me. On the front of that also says do more. I think the do more part of this also kind of comes into play with what you do in the preparations for the season, what you do to get ready to make sure you have everything. And Georgia, much like those baseball teams and football and basketball teams do, at the trade deadline in professional sports, they make that final acquisition they hope can put them over the top. That's what I really believe that Wolf and Cager, to a certain extent, are. They are a signifier that Georgia's going to bring in veteran presences to make winning a national championship more likely. Can't guarantee you it's going to work out that way. None of us know how all that plays out. But Georgia's going to leave no stone unturned. When Jeff Sintel, Dog Nation's recruiting insider, joined us on Friday, he kind of struck a similar tone, that there is definitely a message being sent about what Georgia's doing here, and it's a win-now mode that Georgia seems to be in. Here's Jeff on that.
Win-now's a great way to look at that. And for me, I think the fans should just look at that tight end room and see there was already going to be a lot of first-year acclimation with new tight ends coach Todd Hartley. Now, he's already very good at what he does at coaching that position, definitely recruiting that position. In practice speed and everything else, you got to slow things down a little bit for the new guys, no matter how sharp they are, like a Ryland Goedee or a Brett Sither. So when you add another guy in there that can nod his head and says, "Coach, I got it," after one teaching point, coaching point, that's what you want. Georgia wants to play a lot of tight ends. I think the big picture here with Eli Wolf is just depth and championship depth.
So I think that's really interesting from Jeff. It's almost like what he's saying is the transfer players, veteran players, are just easier than young players to get acclimated. And that's true for the guy that Jeff is referencing there, Wolf, the tight end that Georgia adds from Tennessee. I think it's also true for Cager, the wide receiver that Georgia is going to add from Miami. This, by the way, Cager, also a guy that's put up some stats as well. He's found the end zone in his Miami career, playing with inferior quarterbacks, the one he'll play with at Georgia, and Jake Fromm. So I think there's a lot to like with the Cager addition and the Cager move for Georgia. Georgia. Now, I know there's always going to be that pumping of the brakes from some Georgia fans and say, yeah, well, those veteran players may do better in practice with those reps, and they may pick up the offense and learn that faster just because they got college experience. But, B.A., what about the transfers that didn't pan out for Georgia? What about the guys that were brought in, maybe like a Jay Hayes on last year's defense, or a DeMarcus Hayes, a junior college transfer along the offensive line? What about those guys that get brought in here and don't make the significant impacts right away? Listen, there, or in some cases may never make them. There is no such thing as batting 1,000. There's no such thing as every single person working out to the height of what his potential was. College recruiting in many ways is about casting as wide a net as you possibly can. And I'm going to assume that the presence of Cage or the presence of Wolf helps Georgia next season. If nothing else, it increases the depth that Georgia will be going through its practices with. It increases the competition to actually get on the field. And if a Wolf or a Cage are ultimately get beaten out by younger players, by less experienced players, that only means that the bar those younger players had to cross to get on the field was higher than it otherwise would have been. So I think you can, as a Georgia fan, feel really good here that Georgia, with its conclusion to its 2019 recruiting cycle, went out and got an elite five-star wide receiver, and then on the heels of that, brought in a couple of more transfer players, had the scholarship room to do this, and all of a sudden, when you look up and down this Georgia roster, offense, defense, everything in between, special teams as well, if you want to include a Lou Groza-level kicker and Rodrigo Blankenship, what would a team need to have to win a national championship that Georgia doesn't currently have, or at least has a strong potential of having? What do national champions typically have that Georgia doesn't? There may be some answers to that question. We may wrestle with that a lot over the course of the offseason, especially as we head towards spring practice. But at first glance, the general thought is this Georgia team on paper looks really good. Maybe a whole lot closer to Alabama and Clemson, the two teams that just played for a national championship, than many fans outside the bubble of Dog Nation and many of the national media may realize. This Georgia team's in pretty good shape right now. The transfer additions, I think, ensure that even more. And the 2019 season around Dog Nation could be really fun indeed. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello for you, to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available as a podcast pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. And if you have not signed up to subscribe to the Dog Nation Daily podcast on the Apple Podcast Player, what a convenient way to have the on-demand version of our audio delivered right there to you in your earbuds on your device. However, a great way to connect the show is Dog Nation Daily as a podcast. Subscribe on the Apple Podcast Player. We'd love to have you do that. Chip Towers coming up in just a moment. Chip was in the room today at Holy Spirit Preparatory Academy when the nation's number two basketball prospect, Anthony Edwards, chose Georgia. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also get into some of the football stuff with Chip as well. Before that, though, let me go in on Edwards myself for a second as we go around the doghouse here on this Monday, brought to you by Pella Window and Door. And I kind of joked about this off the top of our program with the props that I brought on the set today. And when we were on video, I kind of, for the Edwards announcement earlier, I kind of remarked about how unusual it is for us to be doing this for a basketball announcement. We normally get together for these Kroger recruiting specials and their football announcements, their elite five-star football players, and Edwards, a basketball player. But nonetheless, it was a really cool moment, I think, for Georgia basketball to see Edwards as he, you know, unzipped the nephew of his, the little baby wearing the sweatsuit, unzips that to reveal what I believe was a Georgia bib on the young baby that was there with Edwards, a really cool moment. After that, family emerged wearing all the Georgia T-shirts, and Edwards himself put on his own Georgia hat. It was actually a really nice moment to see the Georgia G, which has long been a representation of the top level of college football, and over the last couple of years, one of the most recognizable symbols in all of college football for its presence in the college football playoff, the last two SEC championship games. Kirby Smart has done wonders with that Georgia football brand over the last couple of years, and for Crean, all of a sudden now making quick work to make the Georgia basketball brand seem really big and really relevant as we move into the 2020 and beyond. What a cool moment there that was for that. We'll have more with Chip Towers on this in just a minute. And I guess from my own mindset, I can't help but remark about how the Edwards news comes really just 48 hours after Crean himself made a pretty controversial statement. Now, when Edwards was asked about what Crean had said on Saturday, he kind of brushed it off, seemingly didn't take it as being all that much of a big deal. But I've been really amazed by how much reaction there has been to Crean's criticism of his own players on Saturday. You know, we'll let you hear it from Crean himself in just a moment, essentially blaming them for some of the problems that Georgia's had this season. There had been some even curiosity among Georgia fans of what Crean had said on Saturday. Is that going to injure Georgia's chances of getting Edwards today? Well, we found out today that's not going to be the case. But if you're wondering what's all the fuss is about from what Crean had to say, I'm going to let you go back and hear him on Saturday saying the responsibility for Georgia basketball is on him because he kept players that apparently don't deserve to be here. This is a volatile statement from Crean that got a really strong reaction. Let me let you hear him.
It's all on me because I'm the one who decided to keep these guys. It's all on me. And I get it because the last thing I can do with making decisions on keeping guys in the program in the spring, okay, is now get overly mad at them because I'm the one that made the decision. So I live with that every day. And it doesn't mean that they're not great kids. But very few programs, when there's a takeover, okay, when you have guys that haven't done it at any point in time really in their career, a lot of those guys, they move on. That's what happens in a job change. And I didn't do that. And so I'm not going to complain. And we just got to keep doing everything we can do to fix it and make it better.
The summary of what Crean seems to be saying there is, I should have kicked some of these players off the team, and I didn't. And since I didn't, I've got to live with the decision that I made. At least one parent of a current player found those statements to be pretty disappointing, and she said as much on Twitter over the weekend. You may have seen that. And I guess my overall takeaway in terms of how this ties back in to the Anthony Edwards news is this is what the longtime political columnist Michael Kinsley was famous for, called a Kinsley gaffe. When you accidentally tell the truth, that's what a Kinsley gaffe is thought to be in politics, when a politician slips up and accidentally tells the truth. I think in the case of Crean, that's what he's done. I think he has accidentally told the truth. Now, I'm not watching Georgia basketball this year close enough to know if the players in this roster shouldn't be there, which ones he might be referencing, and which ones should have been kicked off the team. I won't pretend to know that necessarily. But what Crean is saying publicly may have been accidentally revealed to the public, but privately, this kind of thing goes on in college athletics all the time. And for someone like Crean, and I said this on our Before the Hedges recruiting special a moment ago when Anthony Edwards chose UGA, Crean is among the most media savvy coaches in all of college athletics, not just college basketball, but college football. In addition to being a coach that's been pretty friendly with the media, while he was out of coaching, he was in the media. This is a guy who knows how to say what he means, and presumably he means what he says. I don't think this is the kind of thing that Crean would have said on accident, and I don't think this is the kind of thing that he would have said if he thought it was going to jeopardize him with Anthony Edwards. It's been spun in some circles as, oh, this is just Crean showing frustration because Georgia played badly against Ole Miss on a Saturday where ex-Georgia basketball players and, you know, former dignitaries around the program were back on campus. But Crean's not going to lose his tongue that way. Crean's too polished with his own spoken words to slip up and say something he's later on going to regret. To me, this feels more like a deliberate message to say the talent level that you're used to seeing around Georgia basketball is not the talent that I'm going to be bringing to the program. I'm going to have less guys like on this roster right now and more guys like Anthony Edwards. Now, that may be distasteful in terms of Crean blaming the players for the level of success that Georgia's had this year. That's probably a different discussion all the way around. I think Crean is just admitting what he believes is true, which is a talent upgrade is necessary. And by the way, as I said before, it's not just Georgia basketball who wrestles with this kind of stuff and goes through this kind of stuff. Y'all know around here we're friends with our buddy Mike Johnson, the former Alabama All-American. What Tom Crean said publicly is something that Alabama coach Nick Saban apparently did and said privately. Now, maybe you can say that Saban was better for keeping this private than Crean was for making it public, but let me let you hear Mike Johnson describe what Nick Saban told the Alabama team behind closed doors in a private meeting when he first took the job. Crean says publicly, I should have run some guys off when I got this job. Nick Saban apparently told the Alabama players privately that's exactly what he intended to do. Here's Mike Johnson relaying a story about Nick Saban.
There was a group of guys that weren't buying in, and you know what he said? As soon as we can replace you, we will replace you. And he went out and got the number one recruiting class in the class of 2008, and he did just that. He replaced those guys that didn't want to buy in.
As soon as we can replace you, we will replace you. So if you have a problem with this, you don't have a problem with Crean, I believe, as much as you have a problem with college athletics. This has long been a transactional relationship. It now exists for both program and player. Players can transfer and move where they want to go, and coaches, no matter what they may say publicly, are always privately behind closed doors trying to decide who fits our program, who's going to help get us over the hump, and how can we get rid of someone that's not doing that. That's just the state of play in the game now when it comes to college athletics. I think Crean's public words, whether they intended them to be this or not, is just a revelation what actually goes on behind closed doors. We'll get more from Chip Towers on this in a moment, and we should also probably add that it certainly helps Crean's point to go out and add a big player like the one that Georgia just added with Anthony Edwards. So we'll talk all about that. Of course, around the doghouse here, brought to you by Pella Window and Door. You know, they can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. Now, the great thing about Pella Window is they're a national company, but they're also a local branch right here in Georgia. So that means you get the power of the national company back by the locally owned branch right here in the state of Georgia. And right now, they got a great offer for you. You can currently get up to 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. That's valid, though, through March 28th, so you need to act right now to take advantage of that great offer. Now, there are a couple different ways you can get in touch with Pella Window and Door. You can find them online at PellaSoutheast.us. That, once again, is PellaSoutheast.us. Or you can give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. That's 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best. All right, we got a lot more come on the football storylines going around Georgia football. But for more reaction to the big basketball news, as Anthony Edwards commits to Georgia just a few minutes ago, let's talk to Chip Towers, who was in the room with Edwards here on Dog Nation Daily.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So hello to Chip Towers, who was at Holy Spirit Preparatory Academy earlier on Monday morning as Anthony Edwards made his college choice of Georgia over Kentucky. And Chip, you've been covering UGA athletics for a long time. I don't know how many basketball recruiting ceremonies you've been to, because I don't know how many have ever risen to the level of the interest that Edwards has, given his status as a premier prospect, future number one overall draft pick in the NBA draft, quite likely. What was it like to be in the room with Edwards today?
Well, it was a really cool scene, B.A., and really felt kind of historical, not to sound, you know, too grandiose or anything about it, but, you know, it was a real who's who in there when it comes to kind of the Atlanta basketball scene, when it comes to basketball recruiting scene. Obviously, we live streamed it, you know, probably a half dozen other entities live streamed it or broadcasted it. You know, there was a lot of bright lights, a lot of attention, and it was Georgia basketball. It was not a Georgia football recruit. We're obviously used to seeing that with, you going live to Jeff Sintel and him revealing the news, but this was different. And not only was it a big time, you know, basketball recruit, but this was arguably, and I had some extended conversations with some of these basketball recruiting analysts as we wrapped up over there, arguably the number one basketball prospect in America. Now, you can quibble over it, you know, at this very moment, you know, he's number two in the 24/7, you know, compilation, which is the generally accepted trend, but 24/7 has him as the number one guy. The Rivals guys were telling me, yeah, they really think he's number one. I don't know if or when they'll reset this, but for Georgia to sign, get a commitment from, let's be straight about it, the number one basketball recruit in America is a big deal. And I was talking to D.A. Lane. I'm writing about this at Dog Nation in my Tower State column. He's the last player to sign with Georgia out of Wheeler High School. He's an AAU guy, runs his own camp and everything, and he's just going, Chip, this is a game changer, man. This is a game changer, man. And that's what it felt like. It felt like a game changer. We'll see. Don't want to put too much pressure on the guy. He's still got to play. He's still only going to be a freshman next year. But it felt like that maybe a dam was broken or some walls fell down here on Monday morning.
And I want to talk to you about that point in particular, because you used the phrase historic, which I understand where you're coming from on that. D.A. uses the phrase game changer. I understand where he's coming from on that. I mean, if you look at the recent track record in college basketball, there's a chance that that Edwards on the court for Georgia actually doesn't impact the win-loss record next year as much as some people might think. However, by opening the door to this Atlanta AAU scene, which for whatever reason Mark Fox, Dennis Felton, coaches like that were just not really a part of, by all of a sudden creating that pipeline, and Edwards himself referenced the closeness to his school, to his home, to the Athens campus, and the comfort he has with Tom Crean, all of a sudden that might put Georgia in the conversation for more of these guys, which Atlanta seems to produce regularly. So this may be one of those things where the history-making aspect of this might not be felt on the floor next year, but for the next 5 to 10 years, these kinds of Anthony Edwards commitment decisions might not be such a rarity anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, that's the deal out of it. This wasn't as much about Anthony Edwards coming to Georgia as it was about him not going to Kentucky, not going to North Carolina, not going to Duke, not going to Kansas, right? I mean, you know, he's staying in state, he's going to Georgia, and he's answering Tom Crean's call, which he's been fairly outspoken about, is, hey, you can do all that here. You can do that here. Come here and do that. You don't need to go to Kentucky and have to fly back and forth and fly your family back and forth. You can get it done right here. Look at my track record. Look at the players I've had. You know, come and let's do it here, and you can have all the advantages of home in the same breath. And that's certainly what, if you know Anthony Edwards' story, Ant-Man, as a lot of people like to call him, you understand why family's really close to him, really important to him, why he wants to stay close for the family. He had his little nephew, Jace, in his lap for the announcement, and that's a big deal. And so it's about Anthony Edwards and whatever he can do for Georgia next year, but it's also about whatever doors this may open. He referenced after your live stream, I said, are you going to recruit other players to Georgia? And he's like, absolutely. And yeah. He's like, you know who? And he says, I got two guys in mind right now. So there should be a bit of a Pied Piper effect. That's certainly the hope for Tom Crean.
All right, so let me ask you about one more thing, because you actually saw him play the other night, and we've been watching some video highlights on our show here today. Certainly from my vantage point, this is no educated opinion. It's just me looking at him. He's a lot of fun to watch. He gets up and down the floor. He dunks with ease. Chip, no matter what the win-loss record for Georgia next season is going to be, I would imagine Edwards is going to be a huge fan favorite and filling the stands a lot. Tell me about what it was like to watch him play in person, because he seems to play the game the way that you love to see it played, flying around, dunking, and just really a beautiful player to watch.
Yeah, he really is. And the thing about it, you know, in like pregame warm-ups, I mean, Holy Spirit has a lot of great players, right? They had a couple other guys that are, you know, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", and you know, you couldn't really tell a difference. But as soon as the whistle blew, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I see. You know, the guy's just all over the place, commanding the ball, making plays. He is a playmaker in every sense of the word. He moves as easily and effortlessly with his left hand as his right. He moves to the left or the right. He's got that, I don't know, which, you know, the NBA move where he can just as easily step back on you and knock down a long NBA three as he can to just blow by you. And once he gets, he's one of those guys, he gets up in the air and then he decides what he's going to do with the ball. Okay, I'm up here now, what am I going to do with it? And so he's the type of guy, there's no question, that Georgia fans who are already coming out to watch the Bulldogs in pretty good numbers under Tom Crean, they're going to want to come just to watch this guy play. But the other side that I'm learning about him here today, and then after that game the other night, is, you know, he's a pretty polished guy. And he's the type that he knows what his station is. So when their games get over at Holy Spirit Prep, and you'll see this in the state tournament going on, he stays there afterwards, and he takes pictures with all in, and he smiles, and he chats them up. And, you know, he speaks well, and he's eloquent. And when you know this guy's backstory, it's really incredible. It's one of those stories where you can tell that a game has very much made a difference in a guy's life and, you know, made a difference for good. And so he's impressive. He's magnetic. And I imagine he's going to make players better on the court and bring better players to the court. if that makes sense.
So the irony to all this is that the Edwards announcement comes just a couple days after Tom Crean said something that's gotten a lot of attention, and certainly not all of it positive. Now, Edwards was asked about Crean's seeming criticism of his team, almost blaming them for the struggles this season, and what I heard Edwards say on our video is to kind of blow that off and make it not seem like that big of a deal. Chip, what did you make of Crean on Saturday blaming the Georgia's failure this season on the fact that he should have run some players off and chose not to do that? How did that sit with you hearing that from Tom Crean?
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm going to weigh in on it. And I reported it. I was covering the game, and I reported it in my write-through story after the game Saturday night. I did think it was it got a little bit blown out of proportion, and particularly by some people who weren't even attending the news conference, to be quite frank about it. But you know, in the whole time before he said the, you know, whatever it was, the 50 or 100 words that had been pulled out by everybody and talked about, it was his thought, you know, it's his job. He's not doing a good job coaching. He put everything on himself. And then, you know, when he continued to be pushed about it, it actually, the diatribe started when he's talking about all the turnovers, you know, and it really got into, he's just talking about, hey, I knew what kind of players I had, you know, and so it's on me, you know, that we're going out there and committing 20 turnovers, you know, that's on me. So, you know, I thought it got a little bit, but let me be clear about it. He should have never said it, and I'm talking to Tom Crean later this afternoon. I'm on my way back to Athens from Buckhead right now, and, I feel sure that he's going to, you know, he's going to express some regret about saying what he said and saying how he said it. The flip side of that, he's also sort of telling the truth, right? I mean, in this age of the transfer portal, when guys can leave anytime they want to and all that, that comes with, you know, there's a flip side to that as well. And, what Tom Crean's saying is I got to get better players, and I'm going to get better players. In my understanding, B.A., here's the story behind the story a little bit, is yesterday on Sunday, I understand Georgia had one of the best practices that they've had all year long. You know, the team is unified. No, this is not a divisive thing. And obviously with Ant-Man coming to Athens, it didn't ruin their recruiting and blow up, you know, Georgia basketball as a lot of these hyperbolic posts and outrage would have you believe. No, I think it might have actually solidified Georgia basketball a little bit, to be honest with you.
So I want to talk about football before we let you go, but let me follow up on this real quick, and I'm obviously a lot more comfortable speculating than you are, but my speculation on this particular story is, Chip, Crean is too media savvy, given his own background working in the media and his friendliness with the media. He's too media savvy to have a true gaffe. In other words, accidentally saying something in the heat of a moment. He's been in front of cameras and microphones, in my mind, too much to do that. If Crean chose to say this on Saturday, my assumption is that he said it intentionally. Do you feel comfortable speculating about that one way or another?
Well, no, I'm not comfortable about that because, you know, he is he's a very emotional guy. I mean, he just says what's on his mind, you know, and it's going to be this. Hey, I heard this about Tom Crean before he got here. A guy I respect a lot, Rick Bosich, who's covered Tom Crean at Indiana and also covers Kentucky, so covered him by, and I believe his son actually covered Indiana while Crean was there. And, you know, this is a guy, anybody who talks a lot, right? You know this. You're on the air all the time. Yeah, you're going to say stuff that you probably shouldn't have said, and you didn't mean to say. He's passionate. Yeah. And he was frustrated. Let me tell you, they did not play. I was at that game, and that was like, you know, I mean, we're like looking at each other, guys on press row. It's like, wow. You know, I mean, Georgia's been bad at times, but they were really bad. And he was embarrassed. There were 90 Lettermen there. You know, a bunch of those guys that had played on SEC championship teams and Final Fours, and they're standing there, and your guys come out and lay an egg like that. I mean, he was embarrassed, and, you know, he said some stuff he probably should have, but I think he's going to own up to it, and that's why I'm on my way to hear from him. Now I'm going to give him a chance to, okay, you said what you said. You know, how do you feel about it? Now, I'm fairly sure that we'll probably hear an apology of some sort and probably hear a little bit about that practice.
It's unusual for us to be, you know, almost 13 minutes into an interview and not gotten to football yet, but I do want to talk a couple things about football. Chip, speaking as a fan, I was really glad about the Lawrence Cager news. Now, obviously, at Georgia, we have seen some grad transfers come in and make huge impacts. Other guys don't always do it, but I think that wide receiver could be the missing piece for Georgia next season. Pickens, assuming everything works out with him, is certainly an answer for that in the 2019 class. But a guy like Cager, who put up some stats with what I think of as pretty inferior quarterback play in Miami, I think that's a pretty fun addition for Georgia. When you pair this with Eli Wolf, it certainly seems like Georgia's going all in with what it thinks is a really talented roster for 2019, right?
Well, listen, B.A., I'm a Dog Nation Daily regular, okay? And I know where you are on this subject, man. I mean, I do. I know exactly where you stand. And I agree, you know, to an extent. I mean, there is no question. Let me tell you, Georgia got better, you know, at the wide receiver position. Or at least they replaced where they needed to, because, you know, I don't think it's that small of a thing that you're losing Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley and Terry Goblin. I mean, those are really, J.J. Holliman did a great job, and maybe statistically – some other guys might have put up some better numbers. Those really three best receivers, most dependable, know what they're doing, know what the routes are, most dynamic and all that kind of stuff. You know, in between, you know, Blaylock and Pickens, and then a guy like Cager is a guy who can come in. I mean, he's what does Jeff like to call him, plug and play,
yeah.
Right? And same thing with Eli Wolf. I mean, he's going to know immediately, you know, what his job is, what he can do. And I think one of the most important things that could possibly happen right now is for, you know, Cager to get in there, Eli Wolf to get in there and start throwing, with Jake Fromm the way they do in the summer. And they're going to throw the ball a ton. They're going to have all that 7-on-7 stuff and kind of build up a rapport. And if they can, they're going to be able to get the ground running when Georgia plays that first game, 1st of September.
Let me squeeze in one final question, Chip. You know that Justin Fields was granted his immediate eligibility over the weekend. Some Georgia fans were kind of questioning how easy this process seemed to be for Ohio State. But one way or another, do you think that Georgia, I mean the institution itself, the Athletic Association, is it just glad to have this thing over, clean break, Fields is Ohio State's quarterback now, Georgia's moving on, and the kind of repetition of the news cycle about to go away now? Is Georgia just glad to have this over now?
Yeah, no, I think they are. And look, Brandon, this is the new world. And, you know, I would remind Georgia fans that, you know, Georgia was one of the precedent setters on this, right? I mean, Demetrius Robinson, came in and was granted immediate eligibility. And this is what the new world is going to be like. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy about what his reasons and all that kind of stuff. And this is actually another story that I'm going to weigh in on in the next 24 hours, I would say, on Dog Nation. They're very vague. NCAA, when you get down in the weeds about what it takes to transfer now, it's a very broad, vague basis. And, I thought it was good, and I'm sure Georgia was glad to see Justin Fields say what he said, and all of us realize the hypocrisy of all that with his sister still being here playing softball, and then, you know, him, you know, going out under whatever pretenses he went out. But the bottom line is you can just say now that you are having a negative experience for whatever reason, and you're probably going to get that check mark, on your transfer papers. That's just the way it is now. But Georgia moves on, and I'm not sure. I wrote this in the immediate aftermath of Justin Fields leaving. In some ways, I know he's a great player, and maybe he goes to Ohio State and proves to be that generational player that I've heard so much about. But I think this may be a unifying factor in Georgia's football team. There's not going to be any question who your quarterback is. Everybody else is going to be either a pure backup like Stetson Bennett is, or a developmental project as Dwan Mathis is. Jake Fromm is your man. There's no question about it. He's going to get all the reps. He's going to be calling all the shots. And I think that's largely a good thing for Georgia football.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Chip. All right, we'll look forward to reading a bunch from you. Sounds like coming up at DogNation.com. That's going to be a lot of fun. We appreciate your time today. A historic moment for Georgia basketball earlier on this Monday, and we enjoyed your coverage of that. Chip, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you, man.
let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Great stuff. And it was really fun to be on for a basketball this morning. And I love the audience response to it. You know, this is, listen, we will never be anything other than what we are, a show that does about 95 to 99% football content, for better or for worse. That's just what we are, both in terms of, listen, we just like college football around here, and also we understand that's what a lot of our audience really, really likes. But that doesn't mean there isn't room in our brains and our minds and our attention span for something else, especially when it really gives you a reason to talk about it. And when Georgia goes out and gets a player like the caliber of the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, obviously it's going to generate a discussion. That was a really fun thing to be a part of today. Hope you enjoyed Dog Nation's live coverage of Anthony Edwards' decision, courtesy of our friends at Kroger as a part of a Before the Hedges recruiting special. Really good stuff. Chip talks about Justin Fields, and I do have to – I got to kind of close the book on this with some of my own thoughts on Fields in just a moment. There were a couple things that happened over the weekend that I have to admit I didn't really love, and some of you are going to be saying, well, B.A., why are you still talking about Justin Fields? I feel like this can't pass without me saying this, and then after that, I guess we'll kind of close the book on that. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, let me remind you, speaking of Kroger, by the way, you know, we're coming up on Valentine's. Folks, Valentine's Day is Thursday, so this week, for a couple of days, Wednesday and Thursday, that's the 13th and the 14th, which is the official Valentine's Day, Kroger's got you taken care of. From noon to 6, they've got a chocolate dipping station. Now, I haven't found the thing yet that doesn't taste better once you dip it in chocolate. But you can experiment for yourself on Wednesday and Thursday at Kroger, starting at noon all the way to 6 p.m. And while you're there, taking advantage of the chocolate dipping station, listen, there's no judgment here. You know, you can use the chocolate dipping station for your significant other, but if you just kind of want to, you know, dip your own strawberries in there and take care of yourself and have your own dessert, listen, who are we to say not to do that? But while you are there, you can get that card, flowers, anything else for that special someone in your life. Kroger taking good care of you as we head towards Valentine's Day on Thursday. SEC Through. So I watched a little bit of this. Is it the Alliance of American Football? Is that what the AAF stands for? I can't decide yet if I'm going to like this or not. Now, I love seeing our buddy Cameron Nyslick in action. I saw him get a couple punts off and look good doing so. That was kind of a cool thing to see. Our good friend from the postgame show this past year. So we obviously like seeing those SEC names. Mike Johnson, also our buddy, is doing some commentary work for the Birmingham team. So I love the SEC connections here. I like seeing guys we know back on the field and playing. And, you know, seeing Spurrier, he had something the equivalent of the visor toss, whatever. Now, he won by like 40 points. I don't know what he had a reason to throw the visor for, but you just saw some of these familiar SEC faces and names, and that's somewhat comforting to me. I can't quite tell yet, though, if this is something I'm going to watch on a regular basis. I don't know. I happened to be home on Saturday night, and I tuned it in for a little bit. They're going to need to score, I think, more regularly on a more regular basis. That's going to be a nice thing. I have no idea why the Atlanta team's not using Aaron Murray as its quarterback. That, to me, is a source of frustration. It feels like that'd be a good way to generate interest from the local audience to have Murray as your starting quarterback. But nonetheless, that's the deal. And you also the weird thing with Michael Vick, who's not calling plays anymore. I'm not even sure what that's all about. But it happened. There's some SEC guys involved, and I did watch a little bit of it. A couple other stories I wanted to mention. This one, for sure, SEC-related. And this is actually probably pretty good news. Kentucky's defensive coordinator, Matt House, was thought to be a candidate for a linebacker's job. Was it Cincinnati? Is it the place he's supposed to be going? Say again? All right, Kansas City. Yeah, so he's supposed to be going to Kansas City as linebacker's coach. But apparently now he's not going there. Our buddy Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio has reported this on Twitter. I'm sure this will be spun by Matt once again as Kentucky heroically coming in to throw whatever money it had to at the big, bad Kansas City Chiefs to keep Matt House, much the same way they did the same thing with Eddie Grant and George. That's apparently a pretty big deal up there in Lexington. So no doubt Matt Jones will be spinning his yarn, his hero's tale about how Eddie House, Matt House, about how Matt House is just as committed to the future of Kentucky football as Eddie Grant is. And I know that the Music City Bowl or the Birmingham Bowl or the Belt Bowl or whatever the bowl, be very glad to have the Wildcats this year, as both Kentucky coordinators have apparently spurned the big bad behemoths coming in to try to steal them away. So Kentucky can be very happy about that, especially as they cry in their cereal over not getting Anthony Edwards. But nonetheless, one more SEC story I want to get to. Actually, this is not so much SEC related as it is college football related, but pretty interesting nonetheless. So Dabo Swinney was quoted in the Charleston Post and Courier about the PED stuff that some of his players, including Dexter Lawrence, dealt with in the college football playoff. And it seems to be an admission that there's a chance that those substances came from Clemson. Now, here is what Swinney says to the Charleston Post and Courier. "Oh, yeah, I mean, there's a chance that it could come from anything," he says. "They're going to test everything and look at everything, and that's the problem. As you really look at this stuff, it could be a contaminant that came from anything. That was something that was cleared and not a problem, and all of a sudden, it becomes there was something," meaning a substance within a thing that the Clemson players were given to eat. Now, this is just, you know, me talking, and, you know, we're just having a conversation here. But, boy, it's really hard to hear Dabo Swinney say the things that he says there and not have that sound in your ears like every baseball player from the late 90s and early 2000s who was like, "I don't know where this stuff came from. Maybe it just fell out of the sky and landed in my mouth. Who knows where all this stuff comes from?" And the best I can tell, every single person in baseball who tried to deny this was proven to be a liar. Some of them lied before Congress. Some of them lied to the media. But they basically were just all liars. And I got no way of knowing what's really going on here with Swinney. But Swinney's got a very interesting brand in college football, especially down here in the South. He seems to be the one doing his program a different way. Remember, Alabama and Georgia are these full contact, aggressive recruiting programs who are making 1,000 offers, and some of those are not committable, and who knows what. It's a race to get the best 25. Dabo, by comparison, always seemed to be a little more touchy-feely than that. He's always seemingly been the guy who's running the good program that wants to love on you, and, you know, it's just a better overall vibe and a feeling that Clemson has done. And to its credit, that brand has really worked for it. But when you got Dabo using the same kind of language that we've heard from other sports when it comes to the "who knows where these PEDs came from," you almost wonder how much of that is going to stick to him. The honest truth is we don't know. You know, listen, I don't know the first thing about PEDs, nor do I know how they would have impacted a college player's performance. This is a mystery to me in every regard. But does something like this end up sticking to Dabo Swinney and becoming a difficult thing for him to answer for in the future? And does that good old boy, "aw shucks, I'm just Dabo," does that brand that he's built from himself become a little harder to hide behind and hold on to in the face of what was a little bit of an issue for the defending national champion or the reigning national champions? It'll be worth watching. We'll make that your SEC through. All right. So for a couple of minutes here, I do want to talk about one other big story from over the weekend here on Dog Nation Daily. And yes, indeed, Justin Fields was granted his immediate eligibility to Ohio State. I got no problem with that. Ultimately, all the reasons for which, you know, he made his case, this is probably going to be much ado about nothing. And I was certainly upset with the way that, you know, certain, you know, media puppets were doing exactly what Fields' attorney wanted them to do in terms of how they were framing the story about Georgia. Ultimately, though, that's probably not going to matter too much, right? Because what the real story is going to be is not the specific circumstances that Fields cited to get eligibility, but the real story is going to be the tidal wave of everyone else joining Fields in this eligibility. So ultimately, Fields is not a special case here. He is just a part of a tidal wave of similar cases, and whatever happened between Fields and what he says about Adam Sasser or whatever, that's probably not going to be a very big part of this, and 6 months from now, no one may remember this. Folks will try to use this as negative recruiting against Georgia, but listen, negative recruiting is one of those things where everybody tries to use everything they can, and for the most part, I don't think this is going to stick to Georgia. But the one thing that I do think Kirby Smart's got to wrestle with privately, and I don't think he's ever going to speak about this publicly, maybe he shouldn't speak about this publicly, but privately, the one thing that Kirby, I hope, has a good answer for is, when he speaks to himself, did I make a mistake by bringing Justin Fields into this program? Given how volatile the situation was from the word go, and we've got video evidence of that, did I make a mistake by even bringing him in? Did I damage my locker room, or did I risk damage my locker room in having him on this team? I don't fault Fields for wanting to play. I don't fault competitors for wanting to compete. Fromm and Fields competed with each other. Fromm won, Fields lost, and Fields went to Columbus. I'm not mad at anybody for any of this. But Kirby Smart set these events in motion. And I hope privately he's wrestling with, was that a good idea, or was that a situation that could have and should have been avoided? Let me give you a quick tweet as an example of this. Mecole Hardman on over the weekend was talking about his belief that Fields would win the Heisman Trophy next season at Ohio State. Now, I believe he may have deleted that tweet because I couldn't find that this morning. But certainly what was still up there on Hardman's Twitter account was a defense of his original statement. McColl tweets out, LOL, why y'all trying to start something? Ain't nobody dissing Jake Fromm, he says. That's my guy. Y'all just love to assume things. But the assumption here, when Hardman does tout Fields for the Heisman Trophy over Jake Fromm, that is a choice that Hardman seems to be making over for Fields over Fromm. Ultimately, though, that's probably more of a, you know, former Georgia football player just tweeting something that he probably shouldn't have, and I'm sure his relationship with Jake Fromm was really good. But all of this could have been avoided if Georgia had just never pursued Justin Fields in the first place. This experiment to bring him in, you know, who's to say that was really something that Kirby Smart should do? And how will Georgia quarterback recruiting look different going forward? Will these kinds of obvious competitions where neither guy is going to be able to coexist if he's not the starter? Maybe in the future, maybe Kirby Smart would just be better off avoiding all of that all the way around. All right, let me wrap up this way. Around here, we believe the good Georgia fans are Gator haters, and we love that. And, of course, 835 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators beat the Georgia Bulldog. We're awful proud of that, and we'll do our Gatorhead Updater each day for you here on Dog Nation Daily, and we will see you tomorrow. And